Popcorn Culture is supported by Fiji Water. Okay, y'all, it is summer, and for me personally, that means it is finally the season to use the brand new boat, where, of course, hydration is key because it is super hot out there, and we will be doing that with Fiji Water because it really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through the volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as any other top two premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And gosh, soft, I love that descriptor because it is so exactly spot on. If you've ever drank Fiji Water, it is soft water to drink. And unlike some of the other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today for your next backyard party, hike, beach, pool, or lake day. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Boy, it feels weird. It feels weird, you know? You know, when you have such a long run as host like I did, you know?
Right. I know. I mean, it's just like you kind of settle into a rhythm. You get comfortable. You start to understand where you lie amongst the equation.
You feel like maybe everyone's really happy. Like, it feels like everyone super loves this, you know? Why the change? And then you're just beaten down. But it's okay.
It's okay. How's morale over there? We're feeling good.
Feeling good. I'm fine.
Okay, that's good. Everybody's like, oh no. Oh man. Well, as a special treat, as I've now taken back over One True Host status, I feel it is time to finally share the story of the time I took my pants off at a bar.
I did not know what you were going to say.
Hashtag not clickbait.
Hashtag how do I not know this story?
Oh my gosh. I know this is like it's a strange and rare occasion that not present for.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a rare occasion in general.
It's a pretty rare occasion in general. But what would surprise you more if you were there and had no idea or the fact that it happened and you just weren't there and I never told you?
I think it would surprise me more if this entire scene happened whilst I was there and just it completely went under my radar.
Right. Yeah.
Is that the case?
That's not the case.
Wait a minute. Am I walking into a trap?
No. It's just such a funny story because of like the way that it played out. But sometimes I think it wouldn't be a huge leap to say that here in the office, some of my various anxieties and, you know, fear of things such as like karaoke and whatnot.
Yeah.
Maybe illustrate a certain character of human that might be accurate about myself.
Okay.
In terms of the general outgoing nature of who I am in the wild,
okay,
as it were. However, on this particular occasion, so we were in Vermont. Is the starting point for it? We were on like a vacation in Vermont with like, you know, some of the crew. And
I'm trying to even imagine what bar you might have been frequenting.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Like when
what,
we're
Wags.
Yeah, right. So it's a gas station.
It's a gas station.
The West Addison General Store. Mm-hmm. Shout out.
If you've been there.
Right.
Yeah. You know how it smells.
I love that place, man.
Dude, I know. It's a good smell.
The pizza is surprisingly good.
Right. They got that sort of like open air jar of beef jerky right there next to the register. That's like somehow also the best beef jerky you've ever had.
It is.
Yeah.
What is it about like small gas station beef jerky that is superior to all other beef jerkies?
Well, in this case, I think it's probably because the beef is so readily available.
Oh, that could be. You know, there is literally cow pastures in like line of sight from Wags.
Right. You can smell where it came from.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. By the way, this entire bit, not sponsored.
Not sponsored by the West Addison General Store.
Come on down. Use our two gas pumps.
Exactly. In Addison, Vermont.
Yeah. Yeah. It is where Addie gets her name from.
There you go.
In case anybody's like, wait a second. That seems like a parallel.
What are the odds?
No. So indeed.
There's a great ice cream stand right next door.
Yeah, there is. Actually, it is a truly stupendous ice cream stand. All the rocks are like painted like fruits.
Right.
And stuff.
You can tell it is like, it is the stupendousness of it because like when you go as a tourist, of the Wags.
Yes.
Of the area. You might be like, hey, you guys want to get some ice cream tonight? Well, be prepared to stand in line, people, because this is where all of the locals are hitting up.
Yes.
This is the community, you know, like hub.
Right. You order like a small soft serve cone and it's like a foot tall.
Yeah.
And then it's
huge.
And you're like, who's ordering the large and what does the large look like? Have I even seen one?
Oh, I've seen them, Ben. They're like, yeah, they're massive. It's crazy.
It's just so big. But yeah. So anyway, yeah, obviously it goes without saying that when we're in Vermont, there isn't...
If someone puts a GMA sticker on Wags...
Oh, that'd be a good one.
That'd be a good one.
If anything, I'm kind of surprised we ourselves have not done it.
Wow. You know, you're right.
Yeah. It seems like something we should quest to do.
We should quest to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that can be like our version of just like we do like a nonsense road trip where you and I just drive up to Vermont in the name of placing this sticker. We drove a grand total 24-hour round trip from Virginia to Vermont and back to buy some gas station beef jerky and to place a sticker on one of the most beloved gas stations in our childhood.
If not one of the most beloved gas stations in the country with its two pumps. It would be great if this was like a pilgrimage spot, like if like we found a spot in or on the store like where we put the sticker and then it's like every other little colonel who makes their way, they know to bring their sticker. And it's like over time, maybe it'll be like, look how many we're here.
Look how many we're here. It's like, this is like part of the journey.
It's like part of the journey. Yeah. It's like, wow, whoa. And then you get there and you're like, I'm part of it. I put my sticker on the board.
Maybe everybody needs to like sign their sticker so that you can like distinguish like which is which.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
This would be fantastic.
This would be fantastic.
It doesn't even seem beyond me that if you just talk to the people at the register, like, can we just put a sticker board right here? And like people will fill it up with the same sticker from around the country.
It is one of those things like where we, you know, it's like these people see like possibly 1 week per year.
Yeah.
And they do still like remember.
They do.
Who we
they
are,
do. They're you like, know? You're here for another fishing license. You're like, sure yeah, am.
Yes, we are. They're That's like, we got, right. I remember you from last
I got
year.
A weekend's yeah. worth of fish to catch.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. It's
Dude,
good
I have been set. If you fill that out, the state of Vermont will then send you like a questionnaire about like things like about like wildlife preservation in the state.
What?
Like, sir, have you ever gotten the survey from
them? No, I don't think I have.
They sent me a booklet size survey 1 year and I was like, oh, this is because I got a fishing license. And I was like, I don't even live there. So obviously, I'm going to fill it out.
I was going to say, yeah. Where does the rest of the sentence go? I should be contributing.
What? I'm going to fill, just for the lols, I'm going to fill out this entire booklet and send it back.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, so
you're welcome, Vermont.
Needless to say, though, the nightlife where we go is minimal.
Minimal, right, but
I mean that doesn't mean we don't make our own nightlife. That's always like, you know, part of the
that's
fun.
That's lake time fun.
Exactly yeah. Fire pit, lake views, mm-hmm. loud music,
yeah
all good times. However, on
mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, we just rule them out. Yeah. they're just they're part of the vibes, you know.
Part
it's
of
like
the vibes.
it's like a super crowded rager where most of the attendees happen to be insects.
Yeah. You got one of those like bug zappers that is just sort of like more like its own light show.
We set up the bug zapper 1 year and I legitimately thought that it was going to catch on fire and I was like, I think maybe we shouldn't do this. Like, maybe this is like too intense.
Too intense.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, either way though. So the bug zapper's still up there.
Okay.
Yeah. But what was I going to say was that on this particular year, we're up in the Vermont area and one of the places Alice really likes to go and visit, like like a botanical gardens.
Yeah.
And so the week that we happened to go was over Alice's birthday. So we were going to be up there like on July 31st. And so it was kind of one of those occasions where it was like, okay, we're here, which means we're only 3 hours from Canada and Montreal.
Yeah.
And there's a botanical gardens in Montreal. So we were sort of like, okay, this would be really cool. We can like, you know, we'll be in Vermont. We can go up and spend like the day in Burlington and do some shopping. And then like after we leave Burlington, we will like head up to Montreal and, you know, go out and do like a night in Montreal. And then the next morning we can go to the botanical gardens and then come back to Vermont and continue to do all the lake stuff.
So you stayed the night in Montreal.
So we did. Yes.
So you had like a hotel room.
We got an Airbnb.
So you had like, so whilst on vacation, you booked a vacation.
A vacation.
You were like a vacation on a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was like, okay, we can make this work. And I mean, it was one of those things too, where I think what was happening was we were having like a rain day at camp.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, okay, this is one of those situations where it's like, I pulled up like the Airbnb app and I'm like, let me see if anything's available like for tomorrow.
Right.
And sure enough, there was. And it was like, okay, this is working out well. Mm. So we went up and we're staying it's actually like a very cool place, but I think we were like the first people to stay there, which was like,
oh, wow.
It hadn't been booked yet, which was pretty neat. So it was like really cool. We were going to like go and do like all of Alice's birthday festivities and everything. So we go up there, but like, because we're not totally sure what we're going to do, everybody like gets all dressed to the nines and like, you know, we're all like ready to go out. But like, we're not regulars. We haven't done like a lot of research. Most of like the cell service is like a little bit spotty. So like we weren't able to like really plan a whole lot. We're just kind of like flying by the seat of our pants.
Right.
Seat of our pants. That'll come in handy later.
Right.
The end result though, is that like we get out, we've got like the girls with us who are all like wearing their dresses. And then we've got the guys who are just sort of like wearing like whatever the best clothes we brought to Vermont was, which was, you know, like button down shirts maybe.
Yeah, sure.
So we're out going around trying to figure out like something to do. And we find a bar in Montreal that has got like turf wrapped all the way up around the walls, around the ceiling. It's like all like red lights inside of the place. And in the very,
like, when you say turf, like it's built into like the side of a hill, like a hobbit house, or like they've just wrapped like artificial turf.
They've wrapped artificial turf like from like the edges of both walls all the way up over and around. So like when you walk in. It's like this like red lit environment with green turf, like artificial turf all over the walls in every direction.
On the inside too?
On the inside too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not on the outside. The outside is just like a building.
Oh, it's just a building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
This is the interior.
Got it.
But in the very back is a mechanical bull.
Oh boy.
And this is like one of those things like where we walk in and we're all sort of like, whoa, a mechanical bull. That's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I would love to do the mechanical bull. So it's kind of like one of those situations where we're all like sitting there, you know, we got like a bucket of like brews or something like that, you know, cause it's like, we're like our little entourage and everything. And we're kind of looking at it and it's like, I think it was like a Wednesday night or something. So it's not exactly like, you know, happening.
Right.
but we were on a special occasion.
Right.
So, you know, we're kind of looking over there. We're kind of like wondering like, can we do this? Like whatever. So we go over and we start like asking people, we're like, can we do like the mechanical bull? Like, and they're like, heck yes, you can. Like they clearly couldn't have been like more excited.
Right. They're like, oh, it's about time.
I know. Yeah. So like in like a rare instance of bravado, I was like, okay, I got this. Like, you know, I'm doing the mechanical bull. So we go over, you know, get all loaded up and everything. And it takes off and I make it like 38 seconds.
Oh wow, you know? Yeah. Okay, so they didn't they didn't put it on like hurricane mode.
Well, I thought it was on her. I mean, you know what? Yeah. In fact, it was on her.
It was
mode.
On. What's, yeah. You know, wow. What's,
nobody was there. I can tell it as intensely as I want. Yes, it was on hurricane mode, and I did great.
crushing it.
I know. So
were you one handing?
Yeah, right? Obviously. Yeah. Okay. Obviously, yeah. Of course. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen people get up there before and they're like, they put two hands on the rope and it's like, why even bother?
Why even bother?
You know?
It's like, are you even trying to be a real cowboy?
Right, right, yeah. Right. If you're going to mechanical bull.
You got a full commit.
You got a full send. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so I do it and we're sitting, you know, then I go back to the table and everybody else is sort of like, oh man, you know, like that was pretty good. It was pretty good. So then like, you know, the other guys like go up and they do it and we come back and like, we're looking at the girls and we're like, you guys got to do it too. Like it's so much fun.
Obviously.
And they're all looking at us and they're like, we wore dresses and we're like,
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That is a bit of an issue. And so thinking fast, I was like, I can give you my pants.
There you go. Of course.
And so literally as we're sitting there, this is how we get to the part of the story.
I see what happened.
So I'm in like a kiosk with my back against the wall. There's like a big table in front of me or whatever. And so I'm sort of like, I have a plan for this.
I got a plan.
And so as I'm just sitting there, I just take off my pants.
Right.
And each of the girls goes up and wears my pants to do the mechanical
like underneath
bowl.
Their dress?
Underneath their dress. So they're all like wearing dresses and then like men's jeans.
Right.
Yes.
Naturally.
Yes. So, but then
and you're just sitting in the booth pantsless.
Pantsless.
And no one's any the wiser.
None the wiser.
Right. Yeah.
One of the most thrilling experiences.
Because everyone's eyes are on the bull.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 I mean, it's like they're paying attention over there. I'm completely fine over here.
Right. Exactly.
Turns out it was totally fine.
Yeah.
Nobody was even the least bit upset. But
right. I bet,
anyway,
you know.
That was the occasion.
There you go. Yeah, where you took your pants off at a bar.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Sounds worth it.
Yeah, it
did
was worth it.
Did anyone beat your score?
No.
No, of course not.
I mean,
did anyone beat Hurricane Ben Carlin?
No way. No way. Which is why we're now announcing our brand new t-shirts. The Hurricane Ben Carlin Mechanical Bull t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Well, if you ever own a bull, I think we know what the name has to be.
Hurricane.
Obviously. Hurricane.
It goes without saying.
This is our bull, Hurricane Carlin.
I can't lie to you. Owning a real bull sounds so intimidating.
It does.
I would never want to be near it. Like,
oh my gosh.
I would be so scared.
Me and John, our GMA member, John Jennings.
Yes, yeah.
1 year in college, decided that we were going to do this like 32 mile hike.
I remember this.
Yes. And it was, I mean, this like, you know, pretty off the couch.
Right.
You know,
as the GMA does.
As the GMA. Now, John had like wanted to do this a while. And they're like, where we live is right next to the Appalachian Trail. And there are three pretty popular hikes that all connect to each other. As they do. One is called Dragon's Tooth, one is called McAfee's, and one is called Tinker Cliff.
Yes, you should probably also clarify, this is not like a 32-mile hike over multiple days. It's
right.
It's like a one-day shot.
It was like a let's wake up and tonight we'll sleep in our beds after having hiked 32 miles.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so like I had never done Tinker Cliffs, but I have done Dragon's Tooth more times than I can count, and I've done McAfee's a ton of times as well. But like, so part of my motivation was as well that like for class, I had to come up with like a news package to turn in that week.
Okay.
And like, I was like, I don't really necessarily have one, but we were also doing it like on April 16th and it was 32 miles and, you know, we were at Virginia Tech. And so it was like, you know what, we'll do the hike and, you know, like part of the reason we're doing it is to like, you know, the 1 mile per like
victim
of the April 16th shootings at Virginia Tech. So that was sort of like, I was like, all right, John, we'll do it. But I'm going to have to like film the whole thing.
I did not actually realize because I play a very, very small role eventually in this story.
Yes.
I do not think I ever knew that connective tissue.
That was also part of it. So
okay.
That was a kind of a cool thing. As well. But so we wake up at like 6 a.m. Well, probably, I don't even know. We probably should start. We probably woke up at like 5. I don't know. We do Dragon's Tooth, which is sort of a like a weird part of it to start on because you have to like hike up to the tooth and then you like sort of backtrack a little bit to get back to the McAfee's connective tissue to it. But we do that. We get up McAfee's and then as we're coming, like a big section of it is getting down McAfee's and doing like the back half of like Tinker or whatever.
Right.
And you're just sort of walking eventually through these like open fields and you like snake around and it sort of cuts through like a cow pasture.
Okay.
At
some point.
And as we're hiking up through the cow pasture, you're looking up, like I remember I look over and there is this just massive bull standing just right in the middle of this pasture. He's probably like, I don't know, 40 yards away
so.
And I mean, from the moment we walk into the pasture to the moment we make it back into the woods, this thing is staring just like right at us. And it's sort of like, oh boy. And it's like, we didn't quite see it until we were like well into the field.
Okay.
You know, and it's like you sort of come like around a little bit and you're like, oh goodness, that guy is big. And he's just standing there. He's just standing there, but he's looking at you.
Dude, I gotta say, like, I swear, like every instance where I've ever run into like a big animal like this, I always have the sensation that internally I am positively freaking out.
Oh my gosh.
And I like, without fail though, I swear every other member of every party I've ever been with, when we have been in proximity of like a large I guess this isn't like a wild animal, but like a large animal that has nothing between them and me.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody else is just like, they're not going to bother us. And I'm like, how do you know?
Well, I sure did not know in this moment. I'm like staring. I mean, I was staring at it the whole time. I've like got my camera pointed at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't do anything. Please don't do anything. You know, I'm just like trying to walk as casual as possible. Like, don't mind me. I'm just passing through here, bull. Cause I'm like, cause the whole time you're thinking like, if that thing charges me, there is nothing I can do
right.
about it. You know,
right.
like it, I can't dodge it. It will hit me. It is faster than me. It weighs a ton.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, which like normally look at cows, you're like, whatever, cows, they're big. Yeah, but like I'm not in much danger. And you're like, no, bull. I mean, this is like huge horns. Then like, oh, this is like, I've never just been that close to a bull without, especially without like, you know, the farmer or whoever owns the bull nearby to be like, ah, oh, it's fine or whatever.
A fence.
Or a fence. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, we're just out there. You just sort of feel like, am I just in the, I'm just dealing with a wild bull right now. And fortunately, we make it through the entire pasture. It does not charge us or anything.
Thank goodness.
Just lets us go on our way. And that was that. But man, was I freaking out while I was in proximity to it.
Yes. Yeah. Man, yeah. That can, I mean, it really is just like one of those things where it can just be so, it can just spook you because it's like nothing is likely to happen. But it's right. also like, it's like the worst case scenario is pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that's like a lot
never
of like
a good day to be trampled by a bull.
Right, right.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So anyway, how did the rest of the hike go?
Well,
were
so
you carrying equipment?
I had like a North Face backpack. Not like a backpacking backpack, but just like my, you know, my school backpack, which was a North Face backpack.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did you have like camera gear or like a microphone?
I don't know if you remember flip cams back in the day.
I do remember flip cams.
They were like this weird solution to, it was like everyone, we were at the stage of technology where everyone had a cell phone, but smartphones weren't really a thing. So like you could take pictures with your phones and you can even take video, but not like good video.
Yeah.
And then flip cameras were these like little like pocket sized video cameras you could walk around. They had a little USB port that flipped out of the side and you could plug it right into your computer. And like they became obsolete the moment smartphones came around because, right. you know, then you could do the exact same thing with the exact same quality, but you could immediately share it with people.
Right.
And flip cameras obviously didn't have that. But they filled this tiny little void for like maybe like 2 years or something.
It's so funny to go back and think about that because like if you don't know what one looks like, which you probably don't unless you happen to have one yourself, but like they were like the same size and shape as even thicker than like a modern day smartphone.
Yeah.
And the only thing that it was a camera, and it was like a kind of mediocre camera at that.
Right.
So the fact that like our smartphones are full blown computers and communication devices and also high quality cameras.
Yeah.
Is like, it's so remarkable because that's all this one particular piece of tech was attempting to achieve.
Yeah.
And was doing it like in a meager way.
It did it. Yeah. It did it. Okay. And like, honestly, that's what I filmed a lot of like the Jonkerlin videos on the flip cam.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had like a regular one. And then for Christmas, I got an HD one. Yeah.
Oh,
I know. Quite the thing. But it was always like a situation where like you couldn't even like flip the screen around to see what you looked like. So I had to like set it up, shoot it, stop it, look, you know, do the whole thing.
So when was this relative to when you got your Nike Fuel Band? I'm just wondering what type of other obsolete tech you've adopted
tech
throughout the years.
This was in 2009. 2009 was such a year for me, man. I had like 3 internships. I launched a YouTube channel. I failed a 32 mile hike. A lot happened in 2009.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So that was a big year. Anyway, so I'm on the hike. I'm filming with my little flip cam. And we get to about 23 miles in, which was up Dragon's Tooth, up McAfee's, and up Tinker Cliffs and down Tinker Cliffs. So we got to all 3 summits. And all that's left from that point is this long section of trail that just reconnects the base of Tinker to the base of Dragon's Tooth,
right.
which almost no one would ever hike for fun because there's these other 3 big peaks.
Yes.
It's just a big long trail that connects these things. Like, it's just part of doing the AT, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember we get to the bottom of Tinker, and I remember even just a week earlier thinking to myself, like, because John, you know, whenever John has one of these ideas in his head, he brings it up a lot because he wants you to do it with him. And it's always like, you always know, it's like, I'm definitely biting off more than I could chew. And I was like, you know what? Like, of course I could do it. Like, have I ever, like, when in my life really have I gotten to the point where I literally, like, can't take one more step forward?
Right.
You know, like, certainly I'll get tired and, like, it might be hard, but, like, could I ever not walk, you know? Turns out, yeah, I discovered the limit that day.
Right, right. Yes. Yeah. There is a term, like, in often applied to, I feel like, cycling, where you can bonk.
Yeah.
And this has happened to me on like a handful of occasions, but basically you're out and you just reach capacity.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left in your tank.
Nothing
left. You have bonked.
So I bonked pretty hard. And it's like one of the conditions of bonking are typically that, like, all that will get you back from it is rest. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, just eat this power bar or get some food in you or drink some water. Like, nothing will get you back.
Right.
Like, now, if you fuel appropriately whilst you're doing it, you can stave off the bonk from happening. But once it has occurred, there is no return.
Yeah.
Like,
you
cross the line, you can't go back. So that's what happened to me, basically. I remember John's brother met us at the bottom, and he brought us, like, these, like, foot-long Subway subs, and we ate them, and it was like, oh, this is so good, I'm so hungry right now. And for John, he was still fine, and that just fueled him up, and he finished the hike. But I was done.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, I just was. Like, I could not have done it. So fortunately, we had cell service, and I was just down at the bottom of Tinker Cliffs, and I called Ben to come pick me up. And I remember just, like, laying on top of, like, Curtis's car, because he carried on with John. That's John's brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, they finished it together. And I just remember laying there until, like, Ben showed up. And I think within, like, 2 minutes of being in your car, I was asleep.
Asleep in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, like, one of those things where I was sort of, like, you know, I get the phone call where it's like, hey, can you come pick me up? And I think I was, like, an hour away at school myself.
Yeah, like, so you were at Radford.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there in, like, you know,
an hour.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
Like, not soon. But yeah, so I remember you getting in the back of the car, and I was like, there was, like, a Burger King around the corner. And so I was sort of like, okay, this will be great. Like, we'll go, like, roll through and get some, like, some Burger King to, like, refuel you. Maybe I didn't know you ate the Subway, but maybe I did. Or just thought you could use more food. But, like, yeah, we pull into the parking lot and look in the back. I'm like, you're sleeping.
It might be the most tired I had ever been at that point in my life ever.
Yeah.
You know, it was past the limit for sure. So I made it, like, I would say off the couch, like, 23 miles in.
Pretty remarkable.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
But didn't quite have the full 32 in me. But I remember getting into class the next day, and I told them, I was like telling the, I was like, what was your story? And I was like, oh, I did this, like, 32 mile hike for, you know, April 16th or whatever. And I was like, they're like, you, I was like, yeah, I did, like, I couldn't finish, but I did, like, 23 miles. And I still remember the girl next to me going, she just turns and goes, sick of what now?
She said, sick of what now?
And she was so surprised at the effort I put into getting the story for class.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm like, I still remember it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I don't know. Whenever we had to come up with ideas for stories, I remember it was just like I have no idea what we're going to do. And I feel like other people, like, to me, it was always like, I have to come up with, like, a really serious thing and get, like, a, you know, a really good story or whatever. And I think other people were just like, yeah, I'll just, like, interview my friend and whatever they're doing, that'll be good.
Yeah.
When I look back, it's like, clearly that's going to be good enough for class. You don't have to go find a legitimate news story to cover.
Yeah, right. You know? Right. I know. Yeah. You went, like, the complete extra mile. Right,
yeah. Extra 23 miles.
Extra 23 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness. So I did that. I remember another one, which is effectively still what I ended up doing. It was just like, what are my friends doing? But, like, my roommate was on the ski team, and I was like, no one's talking about the ski team. Let's just do, like, a feature on them, which involved me, like, driving to Winter Place with all my camera gear and, like, interviewing the people on the slopes and, like, riding up the ski lift with no skis to get down, you know?
How did you get down? Did you just walk?
I just walked, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I want to get footage of people getting off the lifts and people going down and, you know, at different parts of the course.
I honestly sort of love it. It's like, yeah. I mean, this is, like, one of those things where it's like when you, like, look back on, like, young us, where it's like, where you don't have, because there is such a truth to this, where it's like, I think had you been older with more perspective, you would have known all of this was not essential or necessary.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that when you didn't know, you did it.
Yeah, right. You know, it was like, yeah, I'm just going for it. Like, I don't know what the perspective, like, I would love to talk to anyone else who was in my class that year to be like, what was your perception of, like, of me in that class or anything?
Oh, yeah,
like,
right, right.
I don't know.
You know, this is funny because I've been thinking about this a little bit lately with, like one of my own personality traits, which is oftentimes that, like, sometimes I will hold myself to a standard not knowing it is required to hold myself to that standard. So, like, let's just say I was like, this is not the case for me. I'm not like an arrive early type of human being, but let's just say it was like, you know, I got to work every day at, like, I start a new job, get to work every day at like 7:15. And someone finally is like, man, you get here so early every day. Like, you know, you don't have to get here that early. Like, it would be the type of thing where I'd be like, oh, I thought I had to. You know, like, it would be like, I was holding myself to this standard,
right,
that this is like what was expected. And it's the type of thing where sometimes, like, people will, like, pay me an accolade and I'm sort of like, I had no idea that what I was doing was being interpreted as going above and beyond.
Right.
But then my brain is usually sort of like, does that mean I can, like, lower the bar, mm-hmm, a little bit, right, mentally? Yeah. And I think this happened with the gym once upon a time, like where we started working out with trainer Gabriel very early days.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we were going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday I was there, and, you know, like, we did the workout, whatever. And I think it was the first time I ever missed was, like, you know, like 9 months in or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember Gabriel saying something. And he was like, man, you know, like, something serious must happen. Like, Ben to miss the gym. And I was sort of like, oh,
Are other people missing all the time?
It was like one of those things where I was like, I regularly missed the gym, I think, after that, but I do think it was sort of like one of those things where I was like I was putting a whole lot of stock of, like, well, they're expecting me to be there, so I gotta be there,
right,
you know. And then it was almost like, once I realized, like, it's like it's a little bit okay, like, you don't,
you're the one paying to be there,
yeah, right? Exactly, yeah. It's like, you don't have to put so much, but, you know, it's like, if something comes up, you're allowed to, like, prioritize your life externally. But it, maybe it was because it was like the first, like, real gym membership I had ever, like, paid for.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, it was like, no, this is, you know, this is a significant investment to be doing this. It's like, right, you know, it's like, I can't, it's not okay to, like, be, to have that and then not go.
Right.
But, like, meanwhile, like, all gym memberships everywhere, this entire model are get people to sign up because they all won't go.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're always overselling capacity based on memberships in the name of
generating. People just won't show up, but they'll keep paying us.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So anyway. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's an issue we have at our current gym or anything. Okay, this is it. Actually, you and I were talking last week about how, like, maybe you were feeling, like, a little disenchanted with our present, like, workout regime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
And, like, you know, like, because maybe, like, we're not, like, training for something specific, or, like, even back then we were doing more, like back squats and stuff and, like, deadlifts. And it was sort of like, there was, like, each day had, like, its own sort of, like, featured, like, big ticket lift about it.
Yeah.
And then sort of, like, some accessory work. Whereas now it's just sort of like, high volume accessory stuff all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's just sort of like, yeah, just work everything. And it's like, you know,
it's the type of thing where it's like, we are exercising so that we are, like, maintaining our physical fitness. So right, that, like, as we age and stuff like that, we maintain health.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
But there are no goals.
Right. There's not like specific weight goals or, like, big lifts we're trying to, like, necessarily hit anymore. And it's like, I'm not sure, like, the road to where we've gotten has been, like, you know, filtered through COVID and returns and gym location changes and all these things. And it doesn't really matter. You know, I like working out. But I remember, like, part of what you were saying that, like, I was like, you know, I bet we could, well, I'm sure we could go back to that. Like, we could, you know, I'm sure we could just, you know, ask to, you know, start doing back squat or something.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. I mean, I'm 1,000% sure Gabriel would just do what we asked.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. We're the only people there.
Right.
I'm sure it'd be totally fine. And I remember you being like, well, even that, though, like, it's not even that it was like you said, like, the mental burden of thinking about back squat was like that wouldn't help, because, like, it would give me a goal, but the other thing I remember was like thinking about it all week.
Dude, I can't even begin to tell you, because, like, I like it was such weird timing that we were exercising back in like 2016, 2017. Like you're exactly right. We were doing what people would refer to in this world as like the big three, which is like effectively bench press. We did floor press where you're just like laying like flat on the ground versus on a bench. But we would do floor press, deadlift and back squat, which like not to get like overly technical or anything with it. But those within like the realm of weightlifting are probably going to be like the signature three activities that you can do. And I think because like Super Carlin Brothers was just sort of getting its like lift off at the time, it's fascinating to look back at what felt overwhelming for work then, because we were really just producing two videos a week versus like, you know, now we have like multiple podcasts, we do like other shows, we've just got like more obligations that we're working on all the time.
But
like, I think one of the big things was that like, you know, we were getting up every morning and like, I'd like together, you and I were going to do these lifts. And I mean, like they scaled in difficulty to where like you basically would start like on day one, you would go and you're doing a 5x10. So five sets,
which, man, when I think about 5x10 back squat sounds crazy.
Well, that's what I'm getting into is like what we were doing became like a weekly crucible, like like to the point where like sometimes I'm like, I don't know how we were actively enduring the like amount of commitment that we had to this exercise, which like isn't necessarily to say that anything we were ever doing was remarkable or like record breaking or even extraordinary in the field. Like, I don't think either of us has ever thrown down big lifts, but compared to what our strength was, what we were doing was very, very, very hard.
Yes. I mean, I think, and that's, you know, you don't have to be like setting, you know, records for anyone other than yourself.
Exactly.
I think, when you're doing this.
Personal records are where you live.
Is where you're living. It's all about your own personal journey. And it's like, yeah, you do 5x10. You would literally just start with like just the bar. And then every week you would add like another like 5 or 10 pounds or whatever. And you would do 5x10 at that weight. Or I guess, I don't know. Was the whole lift, or was it just like the last set was like the big one or something? I can't even remember.
No, it was just, I think what he did for me was he started me at like 60 pounds for everything.
Yeah.
So it was the bar plus like a little bit of change on it.
Yeah.
And you would do a 5x10. And then the next week you would do 65. Then the next week you would do 70. And then 75, 80. And so in the beginning, it's quite easy because the weight isn't that massive. But at some point in time, you're like clearing, you know, your own body weight and then some, you know, for these reps. And really, I mean, none of the details matter at all other than going into the Friday morning lift, which was back squat. You would go in there and like you had to be laser focused.
Yes.
Like nothing else could be on your mind. You couldn't be preoccupied about what else you had to do that day. You needed to be like ready, focused, and prepared to do this exercise.
Because you were going to have 50 reps at whatever weight it was.
Yes.
And it's like, if you don't know how back squat works, like you have one of those like weightlifting bars like across your shoulders.
Right.
And then your arms are on either side as well. And like, you know, when it's like 45 pounds, you can, you know, go down pretty quick, come up pretty quick, no big deal.
Right.
When you've got 180 pounds, you must be in control the entire time.
Yeah.
If you drop quickly and then come to a stop, the weight is going to, you know, keep moving.
Yeah.
And like, so you got to be moving slow on the way down and slow on the way up.
Yes.
And it is like, I do remember. It's like, you're right. It does scale in difficulty because like, you know, as you go, you're getting stronger.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like the thing. So, you know, there's that. But by the time you get to like, you know, your breaking point, it's like, and then whenever you find it, whatever it is, it's like, okay, you're here. Now what we're going to do is next week, you're going to come try and do like a single rep max where we're going to warm up to this point, and then you're just going to try and get one lift at the biggest number you can get.
Right.
And boy, those days were insane too. Cause then it's like, even just going down one, if you've put on enough weight to the point where you can only do one, it is like it is intimidating because I don't know exactly what it is. Like, what do you think is the worst thing that can happen? I don't know. I guess getting stuck at the bottom, in which case people are spotting you, you can dump it. It's okay.
Right.
But like, God, it is like a certain like fear that inhabits you about doing it, or like, I don't know, but I was trying to tell Beth this. I was like, yeah, like, you know, she was like, well, why don't you guys just do back squat again? I was like, I don't know. Ben felt like maybe he couldn't handle the mental load. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you know, like when you're doing back squat, how you have to like, it, like you think about it all week. She's like, I don't know. I was like, what? No, like, no, like, remember when we were going, like, you would increase the weight.
Yeah, right.
And then it would be like, all you could think about. And you'd be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, man, I know what he's talking about.
Yes. I mean, this would be the thing. Yeah. So you would leave Friday morning. And if you cleared your 5x10, it meant that next week you were going up.
It all just meant, yes.
And it was like, so that meant like next week I have a weightlifting marathon ahead of me. And it's just like, and then like you had to go about the rest of your normal day afterwards. Like
exactly.
You finish doing this and then go to work.
Right.
And it was just sort of like, I mean, I remember like, yeah, from the moment I would re-rack the bar for my last lift, I would start worrying about
the next seven days
from now when I had to pick it back up and do it again.
Yeah.
And it's like, I do think this is like one of those things like where as the stressors in my life have grown over the past, you know, 7 or 8 years, it's like, I'm at a point where like when I think about like my fitness endeavors, I'm like, I have to find something that isn't going to stress me out.
Right.
Because like I don't have what I had then, which was just available bandwidth to be prepared for it, to like mentally prepare for the week and not have that mental preparation be impeding on every other thing that I'm attempting to do.
Right.
But this is, again, I mean, it's exactly like I think you were saying, like with our, like with the energy you're putting into like your college courses.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like at the time, I didn't really like realize I was like going that far above and beyond.
Right. But I was like, how she's trying to come up with an idea to do.
Right. Yeah. But so yeah, if you were to throw like my 2016, 2017 weightlifting routine at me now, I would be like enveloped by it.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it would squash me.
Right.
You know,
Maybe literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like, I think this could just be, although like, I think Alice was telling me recently that there was like a TV show that she used to watch that was like the Battle of the Generations or something like that. And they would like, they would have like a group of people who were like teenagers, a group of people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Right.
And they would all be competing inside of like a myriad of different like endeavors, whether they were like mental, physical, blah, blah, blah. And it seemed like the people like right in the middle of that spectrum, while you would think like they're in the middle, they're like, you know, they're the most like whatever, that were the worst at it.
Really?
So people in like their 30s, like early 40s, I think were the ones who struggled the most because they're just dealing with so much
other stuff, right?
You know, and it's sort of like, whoo. So sometimes like when I like reflect on, or I always think it's hilarious to think about like coming back and listening to the pop as we've like aged through this decade.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is going to be so fascinating with hindsight to be like, you guys were trying so hard to maintain the pace that you could have before you like had kids, or before you were taking like on the responsibilities of being like professional adults, or adding all of these other like endeavors to like your like business or channel or like whatever. It's like you guys tried to change, like take on new responsibilities and not realize that was going to pull from some other avenue of your life.
Like, it's so funny what your mindset is about it. Cause like, you're right. Like when I like look back, I'm like, man, those were like really like I really went out of my way to do some of those stories for school. But like at the time I was like, it's so obvious to everyone that I had no ideas and I just had to resort to like a lowest common denominator. Like I was forced to do something crazy because I had no ideas.
Right.
You know,
right, yes.
That's what it felt like. Like I didn't really have an idea. I like saw this and just scrapped at the opportunity because like otherwise I have nothing.
Right.
You know, and it's like, to me, that's the most obvious thing about it. But like, you know, oh, another one. I went to our high school as it were, Cave Spring, you know, where we're hopefully eventually going to be notable alumni.
On Wikipedia.
Yeah. One of these days.
We'll get there.
Whilst I was in this exact same class, the basketball team happened to make it to States.
Okay.
And our younger brother Tyler was playing in the pep band there. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'll just drive to the game and I'll film it for the game. And I'll be like, look, yeah, Virginia State basketball is happening. This is my story for the week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Of course. I mean, I had to drive to VCU from Tech to go do it. And I even like tried to communicate with someone. The other problem is that anytime you do this, you end up like bringing like this giant, you know, news camera, like you look like someone who's going to be filming something and you're like, do I need like a press pass or something? Or
Right. Like oh, can I just like walk into a gym and post up?
Yeah.
And like,
is this going to be fine? I think I like messaged someone ahead of time. I don't even remember. Maybe I just walked in and just did it and no one cared. Like, but there's always rules about cameras at sporting events and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever. But I remember I did it and I came back and it was like, oh yeah. And to me, I was like, yeah, I just went because it was like my own high school. But, you know, I don't think anyone else traveled an hour to go shoot their little package for the week.
Right, right. Yeah. No, you were definitely going to like such extraordinary lengths. Like the fact that even each of the stories that you've given examples for, it's like, yes, I drove like an hour plus to a ski resort. Yes, I drove an hour plus to hike 30 plus miles.
Yeah.
I drove to VCU, a different city entirely.
Yeah.
You know, to get the bit, you know. Yeah. It's sort of like you were just being like a little journalist,
right? Yeah, you know? It's like, oh, I was doing a good job and I had no idea. Like in my mind, I'm like, I suck at this.
That's classic imposter syndrome.
I know.
Yeah.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Arena Club. Okay, so y'all may be aware that we are pretty big fans of collecting Pokemon cards, meaning we have opened tons and tons of cards, but never have we opened cards the way you can with Arena Club. So here's how it works. Arena Club offers what's called slab packs, and the whole experience top to bottom is absolutely thrilling because what they do is put together this huge selection of cards, then they list all of the available cards you could potentially open so you know the pull rates, and then you digitally open your packs to reveal your latest pulls. And like, here is us genuinely opening up our last pack.
What is it? Oh, oh my God, dude, it is literally the one we tried to open for earlier this week.
That is so crazy.
What makes it fun is even though you're opening them digitally, whatever you open is your physical card. So after you crack the pack, they'll display them in your own personal showroom where people can like make trade or purchase offers, or you can have that physical card shipped right to your home, which is what we've been doing because we love like displaying our Pokemon cards in our collection stuff. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or just displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. So right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. But anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so story time. Since the day that I met my wife, Alice, she has been all about secondhand clothing. So 2 years ago, we decided to take that idea and run with it and open a business called Nude. It's like the past tense of new because it's not really old, but you know, nude. Old is the new nude. You get it. Anyway, we'd both been in business, but she was hung up on how to start selling online. But fortunately, I had experience with Shopify, and to tell you that we got started in no time is a straight up understatement. We were busy being brand new parents to a 6 month old. We both have other jobs. And within 2 weeks of idea conception, we had the website up and running. So if you're on the fence, whether it's in the like launch your online shop stage, do the first real store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Plus, even if you do have questions, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Okay, raise your hand if you were on your parents' phone plan and then grew up and eventually got that call letting you know it was time to leave the nest and secure your own, only to realize that wireless plans be expensive. Well, same, or if this has never happened to you, then spoilers, but Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3 month plan. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, meaning they don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. And let me tell you what, guys, we just finished our first ever tour and hit about 25% of the United States, and the service was perfect throughout the entire journey. And I'm saving like $240 per year compared to my old plan. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless plan to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop. Well, so here's a sentiment that actually it will bring me back to the show notes, but okay. it was something I was thinking about the other day. Like, so we have this really like running gag a little bit where I've told a story in an episode of Jay versus Ben about like not peaking too early, you know, in life. And I think it was, I can't remember if it was like possibly like a way that like mom comforted me in high school, like against like the cool kids or something like that, where it was sort of like, it's like some of these kids, they're just peaking too early, you know, like if they're peaking in high school and they're going to be like the people who always like live back on like their glory days. And it was like one of those sentiments that I think stuck with me in such a very real way, to where I think I've always been really like worried that I've peaked and that everything that happens next is just less than
the whole idea of peaking at all just seems like that's a bad way to think about anything.
Well, yeah. And yeah. I think even in year one Super Carlin Brothers, I made a video that was like, what would you do if somebody told you that you've already lived the best day of your life?
Because
categorically, one day would have to rise to the top ranks of the best day of your life.
Right.
And it's like, did you even realize it happened?
Right.
You know, and it's like, would it be depressing to know that you didn't that realize
you have nothing
it?
To look forward to?
Right. Yeah. Right. There are no more best days.
That's
left.
What it sounds like. But of course, like, one, best is a clearly hyper subjective term.
It is. Absolutely.
Know, and like, yes. what means best at any given moment. And two, even if you had a way to categorically say like, this was literally, if you put it on a chart, the best day and nothing can ever top it, doesn't mean you couldn't have days that aren't really good.
Exactly. And I think probably more of like what it comes down to is like, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you even wanted to look at it this way, it'd be like, there are days of your life that will be tens, and there are just going to be tons of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's like, like, it's almost like your best day can just blast past the top of the spectrum, like of the grading scale.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there is no such thing as the best day of your life. Yeah. There are just lots and lots and lots of really good days,
right,
that you get to look back on and remember. Which brings me to the sentiment that I feel like I was like noodling on for a little bit over the weekend, which is, you are not less than the best you ever were. And I think it's like,
I'm as good as I once was, Ben.
I know, yeah, but I was good once as I ever was. Shout out to Toby Keith. But I do think that like there's a lot to be said for this particular sentiment. Like, cause I, like, even just yesterday, like I, like almost exactly 1 year ago, I ran my first marathon. And yesterday I was out and, like me and Allie were sort of like, why don't we just like both go for runs, and like, you can watch Addie for a little bit while I go for a run, and like vice versa, and we'll switch. And that way we can like both get like a little bit of exercise in here on a Sunday. And I'm like, okay, that's beautiful. That's perfect. And so, you know, I go out and I was just like literally just trying to go like break a sweat. So this wasn't like, you know, some type of big designated workout. There wasn't a goal in mind. I like didn't even leave the house with any intention of going a distance, but I just ran 2 miles, and which I'm sore from today. And so, you know, of course there's like a piece of me in the back of my head, even as you were talking about like your 32 mile hike, where I was like, man, just like a year ago, I ran 26 miles and like yesterday I ran 2. And then on top of that, like I ran 2 and the time that I finished running my 2 miles in was almost exactly to the second my personal record for my 5K back in cross country,
right,
which was a 3 mile race,
right?
It's like back when I was in high school, I could run one whole more mile in the time it took me to run 2,
right?
It's like wow.
But it's like, if you're comparing your running capabilities for the rest of your life to how you ran when you were 16 years old, like, you're gonna feel bad about yourself forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it's also like, it's like, no, you did a great thing at that age. That was very impressive. It's like, but at that age, you were like very well equipped to do that thing. So it's not like you're less than who you were then because you can't continue to do what you did then.
Right.
You know, and but like, I think it's just like a good reminder to keep in mind because like your accomplishments and memories in life, because we're all working towards achieving like a goal of some kind, probably, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking for everybody there, but like, you know, it's like if you're invested in any particular type of activity, you want to put in more energy so that you can eventually do better than the last time you did. And it's sort of like, yay, I've improved.
Right.
But then like the idea is that sort of like at some point in time, like you could hit a wall, you could plateau, like whatever, like the, like you might taper off in terms of like, in order to take it to the next level, you'd have to commit this much more resources, this much more time. And maybe you don't have those resources or time to do those things.
Right.
But it's like, and then it's like, well, what's the point of getting that much better? Because then it sets the bar so ridiculously high. And it's like, you're looking at it all wrong. But and I'm talking to myself here.
Yeah.
Because I think this is something I personally can find myself struggling with.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I want to climb the most difficult climb I've ever done, but then
yeah, I was gonna say this feels so applicable to like your own rock climbing.
It's definitely rock climbing, yeah. Where it's like right now, like if I tried to go and touch a wall, there's no way in the world I could do what I did when I was at my best,
right?
But it's also like, but that day you did it, and that was really cool. So it's like inside of your life, your collection of memories, your collection of experiences, you've collected some really amazing moments, and like those are the things to like treasure and admire. And like, you know, you can go back, and it's not like reliving your glory days and like a like, you know, I don't know, back when we won state, you know, type of thing.
Right.
Or maybe it is exactly like that. Like maybe those people aren't entirely wrong. You know, it's just like, they're just excited about a thing that they did.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you should be proud of the things that you've accomplished because you worked hard for them.
Right. Yeah. You know? Just cause like, yeah. Like if you win, you know, a volleyball state championship, like you're probably not going to win another, you know, giant championship in your volleyball career,
right?
You know,
yes.
Right, like that was probably it, but like that doesn't mean like volleyball is not worth playing anymore,
right?
For
right.
you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it's like it can be weird though, because sometimes it's like it's easy to feel like you're living in the shadow of your past accomplishments, and it's like it's such a bad way to look at things you've done well,
right? Yes.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, because like, then what's the point of accomplishing anything if you're just going to constantly compare yourself to former versions of yourself?
Right.
That were highly optimized to succeed in a specific environment.
Yeah. Yes. So are you going climbing? Is that what you're saying?
Am I going climbing?
Yeah.
I think you told me a few weeks ago that if I didn't go climbing in the next week, you were going to punch me.
I'm pretty sure I said slap you in the face, and then my hand is right here.
It's right okay, here. It's right here.
I got it.
I have not gone, but I have been trying to. I've been trying to like just go find other endeavors.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it's like one of those times of year where like I feel like every year I go into like January, February, March, April, it's always one of those things where I'm like, it's going to be cold weather. Your mood's going to be a little bit down. You're going to feel a little bit discouraged. This is normal. This happens to everybody. And I get halfway through like April and I'm just fed up with being exhausted and bad weather and cold weather and short days and all the rest. And then like May starts to come out and I'm like, man, I'm so like, I'm invigorated again.
Dude,
like this is coming out of nowhere.
This weekend was such like, it felt like a turning point for the entire Roanoke area in terms of like outdoorsiness.
Yeah,
like it is like the wet, it feels like, you know, just like knock on wood, we're like past final frost or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's just like, yeah, you can go outside, we can plan on being outside, you can get home from work and still enjoy the outdoors, and you know, you're not cooped up, it's not cold all the time anymore, maybe in the morning a little, but
your mood is so much better as a result.
And absolutely,
it's so wild, because I mean, maybe this is even like a testament to the opposite of what I'm always doing, where it's like I always want like a name to the phenomenon or like the experience or the emotion, like all the things I'm feeling, it's like if I can just put a name to it, then I'll feel better about it.
And right.
It's like, no, because you know, the start of the year is always difficult for everybody. It's an observable phenomenon.
Right.
And yet you still get lost inside of the mist.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Well, I came up with a name for, I think what I like, a way I am literally just this morning.
Okay.
Yes. And like, I realized like, as it was like, maybe it was helpful to have a name for, because like, I realized like I do it all the time. And it is like an extreme motivating factor for me.
Okay, what
and
you got?
Here's what I call it. It's just tiny head starts. Tiny head starts are just like a real motivator for me. Like the dopamine, I think, is like really like powerful on these sort of things, where it's just like, so last night, for example, Beth had to goes back to church on Sunday evenings, and they have like childcare. And so she brought the boys with her, and like, I don't have anything to do, so I was just at home.
Okay.
And like, for a while, it's been like, well, they have childcare there, but also you're at home, so why don't I just leave them here?
Sure.
And to me, it's like, well, you could take them, because then I could have some alone time, which would be really good for me.
Like a good way to recharge the batteries.
Yes, good to recharge the battery. So, she took them last night, and I'm just sitting there in the house by myself, a totally rare occurrence here.
Yes, yeah.
And it's just like, and how I chose to spend the first like 30 hours of this time.
I was going to say, is Beth still there?
Yeah, she's still there. Yeah. The first like 30 minutes of this time was like prepping all of my like smoothie ingredients for the morning. And I like packed all the boys' lunches for the next day. And I got the coffee maker ready to go. And like I packed my gym bag.
Okay.
And you know, like I started the dishwasher and I was just like, all of this like makes tomorrow morning so much better.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. I'll get downstairs tiny tomorrow. The coffee will already be done. That's my little tiny head start. It's like, I won't have to pack Luke's lunch tomorrow. That's really good. Like it'll just be done. I can just put it in his backpack and like right. Beth won't have to. So like she won't have to pack the twins' lunches because it'll already be done. And it's like all of that is like the idea of just being a little bit ahead on things and like stealing that time from the future.
Right.
Like is like so awesome to me.
Yes. No, you know? I know. Yeah.
Like I just like, even at the gym today, like I arrived like 5 minutes before like our trainer guy got there, and I like, you know, let myself in, and like we had like a pretty routine set of workouts there, so I know what the warm-up is. Like I don't have to wait for him to come tell me. And it's like, so when he got there, I was like, I'm already done, I'm ready to go. What's the first lift? I'm already ready to go. This is like that like stealing that time from the, it's like, oh yeah, the workout starts at 7:45, but I hear it's 7:40 and I already did the first 5 minutes, so now I'm like, I'm so ahead,
right?
Like, you
right.
know, it's like eat that feels like so good. And it's like I realize though that those are like, you know, literal time examples as well, but like I feel like I do this with almost like all like just so many things, like as an example, like we've talked about like Mario Kart a lot on the pop.
Sure.
And it's like to me like part of the reason that like I enjoy like putting in a lot of hours to like be good at Mario Kart is because I is in the hopes that in the future someday the occasion will arise where it's like, you guys want to play Mario Kart? And it's like, yeah, let's do it.
Why not? I definitely haven't been planning this for
definitely,
like ever.
Definitely, but guess what? Guess who has a bit of a head start on all of you guys?
Right.
And it's
right.
just like, and then guess what? It pays off big.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, yeah. So it's just like, yeah, put in a little effort here in like everywhere in the hopes that at some point that will like pay off in a way. And that's like, I just realized I think last night Luke was upstairs and like I put him to bed and he was just sort of like wearing the clothes he wore the day. He was like wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt. I was like, yeah, you can sleep in that.
Sure.
Not worth it or anything. But then later on, like he called down and he was like having trouble falling asleep and he wanted me to like heat up a different beanbag toy, which I did not burn.
Flashbacks to the time you burnt the llama.
I know. And I was like, oh, did you put pajamas on? And he was like, no, I put on my clothes for tomorrow so that I won't have to get dressed in the morning. And I was like, oh, look at you. You're sleeping. I was like, part of me is like, well, if you sleep in them, but
yeah, it's fine. I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? He did wear that to school today. And I was like, look at you like planning ahead. Like now in the morning, you won't have to worry about it. He's like, cause sometimes I just forget in the morning. And I was like, this is fantastic planning.
Right.
You know,
right.
And good job. It was like, Luke was doing it. He was tiny head starting himself.
Wow. Setting himself up for success.
I know. I was like, wow, look at you go. Well done. Well done. Very good.
That is so great. And it's so funny that you guys like both in the same evening made efforts in the exact same capacity, and he wasn't even there to witness you yours.
Yeah, he will benefit from it at lunch today, so that'll be good for him.
Good lunch.
Well, I don't know, I guess it was then. I didn't know. Sometimes he'll buy, sometimes he'll pack. We'll see.
Right.
We'll
see. It's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. Well, and like this morning I didn't look at the menu, but I put the lunch in there and it's like, well, if he doesn't eat it, no big deal. I'll just take it tomorrow. You know,
that's
true. Not going bad.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
So there you go. But yeah, then woke up this morning, everything just foo, clockwork, easy to go. And it's like, if your Monday morning is good, like that sets up the whole week sometimes, you know?
Yes. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. And these are like the type of planning things that like, it's almost odd because I think I am similar in this capacity. I think I do a lot of these behaviors and it's in the name of trying to make like future me's life a little bit better.
Yeah.
But then I think because they like become so part of my routine, it's almost like instead of seeing them as like these tiny little wins, a lot of times I just see them as like growing responsibilities,
right?
For like things that I like,
it's
need
like
to
it feels
doing.
Like a head start the first time, but eventually, like if you don't do it, now you're falling behind.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, like the way that those things. It's like it's almost like if you can like. Well, I don't even know. It's like, is there an advantage to not successfully adopting them so that they feel like wins when they're wins? Or is it just sort of like, if you can like make this like an overall piece of your life's ecosystem that like,
right.
It's just going to make your life better overall.
Yeah. I don't totally know the answer. Like, cause there's plenty of Monday mornings where I haven't had the opportunity to like prep all of the stuff in ahead of time. And it's like, we'll get it done.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like, oh God, I didn't do all this stuff. Now what are we, now we're going to be super late for school. It's like my morning will just be like a little bit busier.
Right.
So, but I think like, it's just like the idea of like being so prepared is like very inviting to me.
Yeah. Well, and this is, I agree with you completely. Yeah. Like, I think that that's like such a good practice to incorporate into your life, but it's also, there's like I've thought about making this as like a Super Carlin Brothers video before, but one of Alice's favorite rides or attractions, at Disney World is the Carousel of Progress.
Oh, yes.
Which if you're unfamiliar with the Carousel of Progress, it's like, I think Alice particularly like likes it because Walt Disney himself created it for the New York World's Fair, I believe, in maybe 1965, somewhere in there. So a bit of a history lesson. But the idea was that like it's a rotating stage and you're basically watching like America sort of like grow technologically throughout the 20th century?
Yeah.
I always forget how we claim centuries. Are we currently in the 21st century?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. This is like age math where it's like when I say the 20th century, I mean from 1900 to the year 2000.
Right.
You know.
Oh my gosh. We did a video last week where the whole thing relied on some phrasing from Dumbledore. It was like when Tom Riddle was in his 16th year, and we're like, yeah, but 16th year actually means he's 15.
And it changes the meaning of everything.
It changes the meaning because it means he was doing this a year before. So he got the ring before the diary. And like, that's a big deal because nobody's talking to Slughorn.
I know. So anyway, I never know how to describe it. But so so Walt's basically displaying technological advancements through the 20th century. And one of the things that I find to be particularly fascinating about it is that like in each scene that you witness, it might be the case that like the family, it's because it's just like your standard, you know, family of four or whatever with a dog, like living in classic hometown America.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, in like one scene, they're like, oh, it's so great. Like we got like a washing machine now. Now I'm saving so much time on not having to like do the wash like I used to.
Yeah.
And
it's like, how could things get any better?
And that's exactly it. That it's sort of like when you woke up this morning, it's almost like you could have expressed the sentiment like, man, coffee was ready. Like I laid out my gym clothes, got my outfit for work. Luke's lunch is packed. How could things be any better?
Right.
You know, and it's sort of like, it's like whenever like a new efficiency is introduced into your lifestyle that basically eliminates a former responsibility, it opens up more available time to engage like your effort into something new. And so this is probably where like recreational fitness has grown in such popularity over the past century.
Yeah.
Because people just simply have less otherwise household responsibilities than they once did.
Well, and also it, like at one point you wouldn't have like needed to just go like work out extraneously because what you did all day would have just been physical labor
yes.
that exercised your body.
Right.
And it's like, well, now we have a bunch of machines to do that, so we don't have to do that. So instead, now I will just find a place to go do that for fun.
Right, right. So it's kind of fascinating because I actually, this is also another thing that we can kind of pivot to from our show notes here, is I've had like this old note in my phone just sort of like every once in a while. And it's sort of like a, I don't know, like a bit of a running gag. I aspire to write a book one day.
Right.
And so like whenever I have like shower thoughts or whatever, and I like pop out and I'm just sort of like, you know, what would I call it? What's the premise? How would I explain this to somebody? What's the elevator pitch or whatever?
And
so I hadn't even remembered writing down this particular topic, but I found it on my phone. I included it in the show notes, and I feel like we've teed up kind of nicely for it because that's the idea. So carousel of progress, you know, as time goes on, technology improves. It's like every single time a new technology like eliminates, like what's the biggest chore in your life? Imagine a piece of technology has just like removed the responsibility to do that. Because in a lot of ways, that's the world that I feel like we're progressively living in. Like even like Google Maps, like back when I first was doing like aquarium maintenance, you know, in like the year 2008, we had this big commercial van, and in the center console of that commercial van was just an overflowing number of MapQuest printouts.
Right.
That I would go through, and like whenever somebody called me and asked me to go and service an aquarium, I would have to like figure out where their home was. I would punch it into MapQuest. I had to like be at an office before I could go so that I had a printer so that I could print out the instructions and have them, you know, on my center console. Yeah, exactly. And it's like one of those things where I was like, man, it would be so nice if there was just like an easy way to map my way there. And it's like, sure enough, now there is. And now like I don't even have to think about being at a physical location. So I have a printer, so I have the ability to like know how to get there.
Right. It's and like just get in your car and plug in your phone and there you go.
Right. And yeah, God forbid there was like, you know, like an accident on the road or like construction or something.
Yeah.
And you had to like detour. It's like now I'm in completely unknown territory because I don't know where I am at all. And my little blinking dot didn't move on my printout MapQuest papers.
Right.
You know, so I was like, now I just have to find a familiar road again and start over.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like a whole thing. But so anyway, the premise for the book was called Needless. And it's a world where any and everything you desire is none further than simply requesting your need. And what does that world look like? So basically it's sort of like take all the needs of everybody in the world and just assume that like if you need water, you have water. If you need food, you have food. If you need shelter, you have shelter. So it's like you can ask.
Right. Money, not a problem.
Exactly. And so it's like this is sort of like I always kind of go back to like that hierarchy of needs that you learn about like in you know, psych 101 or whatever, where it's like the bottom of the triangle is like, you know, is exactly those things. It's like food, water, shelter. And like you sort of like move up the pyramid, and the top of the pyramid is always this sort of like vague term called self-actualization.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, especially as a college student looking at self-actualization, it was just literally words I had to remember to successfully answer the question on the test.
Right.
Because I couldn't even begin to wrap my head around what it would mean to be self-actualized.
Uh-huh.
It's like the most abstract sounding concept ever.
Right.
However, in this world, in a needless environment, the question is sort of like, everything's fulfilled. All of it.
Right.
It's like, where do you direct your energy?
Mm-hmm.
Like what's left? What's the next thing that you would then be like life couldn't get any better. It's like, but you would still do something.
Yeah. Blitzball, Ben.
Blitzball. Is that a Final Fantasy X reference?
Final Fantasy X reference.
There you go.
This is basically the premise for the setup of the plot of Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
Is that so at the beginning of the game, there is like a utopian city called Xanarkand.
Okay.
Where the main character, the main character Titus is a Blitzball player.
Yes.
And like, he's made, and in Xanarkand, everyone has everything they need. Nobody works at all. The machines take care of everything for everyone. Everyone has food. So like, what do? You play sports, you go to shows, you are entertained or whatever. And I guess per the game, this is not how people are intended to live. And so a giant whale named, very on the nose, the whale's name is Sin, shows up and destroys Xanarkand.
Yeah.
And then Titus gets whipped through time into the future.
Into the future. Okay.
And you have to confront Sin.
I'm not going to lie. When we were kids playing Final Fantasy X, there was such a long period of time where I thought Tidus and just his character design was about as cool as anything could possibly be. And so I was like, when I grow up, I will name my child Tidus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, character design-wise, I don't think anything has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, still awesome.
So she's
got that one-half mesh cargo pant short.
Oh, man. Know?
Got that weird sort of like straw basket elbow guard thing.
Gotta have it.
Right, gotta have it. Got cool yellow shirt with the midriff showing and overalls on. Crushing it, Tidus.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The crop. If only. Well, if you're coming to see me on tour, you know.
Expect Ben to look like Tidus.
Yeah, exactly. That will be the vibe I'm going for. Yeah.
Welcome to my Harry Potter podcast. This is my Final Fantasy cosplay.
Yeah. I've bleached my hair blonde just for the occasion.
Just for the occasion.
Effortlessly. Spiked in every direction. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful. So anyway, that would be my question of the day, maybe to lob out to the viewers. That was, what would you imagine life to be like in the needless world?
Yeah, I imagine, I don't know. Like my thought is like, that you would just, that I feel like entertainment becomes a huge deal then.
It does become a huge deal.
And it feels like hobbies become a really big deal.
Yes.
Like, cause like, you know, whatever you feel like, oh, I wish I could do this, but I have to do work. So, and I need my work to supply this. Like, whatever that is, it seems like you could just focus all of your time on that. But then it's like, would the need, like certain, like I'm trying to think, would certain hobbies like even still exist? Or like, would, like, I'm trying to think of like I set up my garden last week or whatever. And it's like, that's super fun, but it's like all of your food would be supplied. So like, would you, like, the need to garden obviously wouldn't exist, but you could still do it. But you then could, it's like, but how did I do it? I went to a place and bought seeds, and it's like, you wouldn't, there places to buy things wouldn't exist because you wouldn't, like, buying things wouldn't exist.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like, so how would you get the things?
Right.
Or like, but like that could also be like my brain reaching the limitations of my fictional environment, where it's like, well, if you want seeds, there's just this, there's like a machine where you just push a button, it gives you seeds.
It's almost like I imagine, like, I think in like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, one of like Willy Wonka's inventions is sort of like a microwave, where like if you were to like see something on, like, you know, like a peanut butter sandwich on TV, you could like order it and the microwave would just sort of like generate
vaporize it.
So in my head, it would sort of be like, oh, I need like tomato seeds. It would just sort of be like, you would go over and like press it in,
right,
like,
there
your,
you go
your, yeah, your kiosk, and then it would be like, boom, here's tomato seeds.
Got it for you, dude.
Go enjoy planting.
We understand all the molecular structure and we can change all the molecules in this box to be whatever you want. Cool.
To be exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so you don't, like, you wouldn't need to go to a store. You would just go to your like little kiosk thing and it could just create it. Or,
yeah,
you know, maybe the kiosk is like the size of a barn and I don't even know, you know, cause maybe what you need is like a giant tank or something. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But like the okay.
feels like weapons don't exist in this world.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. Cause there's nothing to battle over.
Right. Yeah. This is already, everything's great all the time.
Yeah. But yeah. That, so what I think is interesting about the mental exercise is that probably whatever your answer to it is, because that's the thing, it's like self-actualization as a concept on the pyramid of needs or whatever seems so abstract, it seems so hard to wrap your head around, but probably whatever your answer to the question is what you would be doing in the name of self-actualization,
right?
Like it's like, pursue those things, whatever your answer is. It's like, clearly that is what you think, if nothing else matters, this is what you would do,
right?
Is go and do the entertaining. And the thing I always get pause on, but it's not necessarily the case, because lots of people love performing, but it's sort of that thing where it's like, in order to go and be entertained at like a blitzball game, for example, it's like there has to be both a balance between people who want to witness the game being played, mm-hmm, and also people who want to play the game.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, passion for sport certainly in a lot of cases, I think, supersedes the financial reward associated with that sport. So a lot of times you think of like pro athletes, it's like, in a world where you get to go and be a professional athlete and like play in the, you know, the NFL, the NBA, like compete in the Olympics, like whatever your version of your sport is at the top of its game or something. I think a lot of times, well, maybe this is even telling more about like my own motivations or like what I would have hoped to achieve from something, is less passion for the sport. But like, if I've achieved it on a professional level, then it probably means I have the financial security that I actually wanted.
Right. Like, it's like, are you saying like, do most NBA players aspire to be in the NBA because of the potential money or just because they love basketball.
And I don't even know if it has to be money, but like the associated money, glory, cachet, like, you know, right. whatever you associate with someone who is a professional athlete, like an icon for others, you know, like those types of things. It's like when you get called up to the big league, is the sensation that you're like, you know, you're drafted to whatever team or whatever, is it like I am going to get to play with the best people who play the game, or is it like I just got signed for $10 million a year? Like, it's like there could be so many different motivations.
And I know, like it's hard to know, like in our modern world, because there is like a lot of money into it. But in your fictional needless world, then the things that you would like aspire to would be things that you can't really buy. You know, they'd have to be like intangible things like glory and legacy and,
right,
you know, or just like inner peace.
Inner,
you know,
peace.
Yeah.
And just
right.
One with everything.
One with everything. Exactly. That, like the monk in the bar.
I was going to say, it's a throwback to last week's corny joke. Good times. So anyway, be sure to let us know your thoughts. What do you think about the world of needlessness? Because I think it could be a very interesting premise to explore.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, you know, it would take, you have to like forget so many of the aspects of like what currently drive you, because so many of those things are just cared for.
Yeah.
You know, and as my additional clarifier, I'm assuming in the world of needless that also like health can also just be solved. Like, health related, you know, issues and stuff like that would just all be, you know, measured.
Right. Yes. That feels like it has to also be taken care of.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
health is solved. No one gets sick.
Right. Right.
All injuries are immediately treated.
Yes, exactly.
Quickly and 100% recovery rate.
I have to imagine straight, Encanto method of like, what is it, like empanadas? What does Mirabelle's mother make?
That, oh my gosh, everything? We ate empanadas over the weekend.
That's why it's in my head.
I know. That's why I don't think it is empanadas. It is. Oh my gosh, what are the words to the song? Julieta.
Arepa?
Yeah, arepas, yeah.
Yeah,
that's it. There it is.
Excellent pronunciation.
Thank you.
I'm going to go. Anyway, guys, send all your feedback over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, I'm super excited about our quarterly merch that we currently have available for Q2 of 2024. We are doing the pop, pop, pop socket.
The pop, pop, pop socket.
Where even I myself am going to be adopting my first ever pop socket.
You're
going to
adopt a pop, pop, pop sock.
I'm going to adopt a pop, pop, pop sock.
There you go.
That's indeed right.
Nice.
Yeah. Man, if now I'm thinking... should we have a sock design in the pop, pop, pop sock socket?
Yeah, these are our socks. These are our pop, pop socks, which feature on them an image of the pop, pop, pop socket.
Yes. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, there you go.
So the pop, pop, pop socket available now if you sign up at the quarterly merch tier at patreon.com/popcornculture. Or we have After the Final Pop, which is an extra 15 minutes or so of Jay and I discussing something that we didn't get to in the main episode, or continuing a conversation from the main episode. So it's a lot of fun. So patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.